morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you're watching this, you are very welcome sharing in our video worship here in the West Highlands. Today, I am recording this at the first of our Christmas breakfasts, and we're enjoying some bacon rolls and sausage and about to be singing some carols. And our first one in our worship today is Once in Royal David's City. Today we light the third Advent candle, the pink one, the candle of joy, which joins the candles for hope and peace.
O God of the blue month, of the turquoise, the tanzanite and the blue zircon, the month of dark nights and frosty dawns, we worship you, for the ice-jewelled trees, the misty mornings, the rain-slicked pavements, the smoking fires of early risers, and the promise. People look east for the rising of the star of love, Saturn and Jupiter aligning in hope to a waiting world. We welcome you for the melting of frozen hearts, the drying of tears, the portent of peace, the light piercing the darkness and the hope. Hope is a candle once lit, burning forever, circling out to warm and heal in a world of pain. You welcome us to the birthing of justice, the subjugation of power, the arrival of love, the word of life in the face of an infant, and the blessing. Blessing and honour, glory and power to bind all wounds, we will walk your way. Amen. And let us now join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Our reading today is from the book of Ruth, from chapter 3. Reading from verse 1. Sometime later, Naomi said to Ruth, I must find a husband for you so that you will have a home of your own. Remember that this man Boaz, whose women you have been working with, is our relative. Now listen, this evening he will be threshing the barley. So wash yourself, put on some perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go to where he is threshing, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down, and after he falls asleep, go and lift the covers and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do. Ruth answered, I will do everything you say. So Ruth went to the threshing place and did just what her mother-in-law had told her. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in a good mood. He went to the pile of barley and lay down to sleep. Ruth slipped over quietly, lifted the covers, and lay down at his feet. During the night, he woke up suddenly and turned over, and was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. It's Ruth, sir, she answered. Because you are a close relative, you are responsible for taking care of me, so please marry me. The Lord bless you, he said. You are showing even greater family loyalty in what you are doing now than in what you did for your mother-in-law. You might have gone looking for a young man, either rich or poor, but you haven't. Now don't worry, Ruth. I will do everything you asked. As everyone in town knows, you are a fine woman. It is true that I am a close relative and am responsible for you, but there is a man who is a closer relative than I am. Stay here the rest of the night, and in the morning we will find out whether or not he will take responsibility for you. If so, well and good. If not, then I swear by the living Lord that I will take the responsibility. Now lie down and stay here till morning. So she lay there at his feet, but she got up before it was light enough for her to be seen, because Boaz did not want anyone to know that she had been there. Boaz said to her, Take off your cloak and spread it out here. And she did, and he poured out almost 50 pounds of barley and helped her lift it onto her shoulder. Then she returned to town with it. When she arrived home, her mother-in-law asked her, How did you get along, daughter? Ruth told her everything that Boaz had done for her. And she added, He told me I must not come back to you empty-handed, so he gave me all this barley. Naomi said to her, Now be patient, Ruth, until you see how all this turns out. Boaz will not rest today until he settles the matter. And then continuing in chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth home as his wife. The Lord blessed her, and she became pregnant and had a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord, he has given you a grandson today to take care of you. May the boy become famous in Israel. Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than seven sons. And now she has given you a grandson who will bring new life to you and give you security in your old age." Naomi took the child, held him close, and took care of him. The women of the neighbourhood named the boy Obed. They told everyone, "A son has been born to Naomi." Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Amen. Now our reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. Mary's song of praise. Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord, my soul is glad because of God my Saviour. For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another he shows mercy to those who honour him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever." Mary stayed about 3 months with Elizabeth and then went back home. Amen.
Today is the Sunday of joy, and we have lit the third of the Advent candles, the rose or pink one. Joy, joy in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. The third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, the Latin, joy, be joyful always. The midpoint in Advent, when we can take a wee pause from the penitent and contemplation and relax a little. What brings you joy? Around here on the peninsula, there's much joy in watching Strictly. Not on this Saturday night as I'm recording this. And of course, Hamza Yassin is a local around here, and so much excitement, and you've got to vote for Hamza. Maybe that's what brings you joy. Maybe it's around the joy or otherwise and all that's going on around the World Cup. What's your thing that brings you joy? That peace and understanding that life is good. That life is good even when things are not all going well. Yesterday, Saturday, at the first of our Christmas breakfasts, we had gathered at Ardgour Church and enjoyed bacon rolls and other goodies. We had been thinking about joy, and I invited folk to draw something on the tablecloth. They were paper ones that will be recycled. What are the things that bring joy? Here's some of them. Be joyful always, says Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Be joyful always. But what if you don't feel joyful always? And of course, none of us do. Maybe you're not feeling particularly joyful as we approach Christmas time, with different things going on in our own lives, that of family, friends, neighbours, in the midst of cost of living crisis, in the midst of all that is not good in our world. And yet, you know, there is a sense in which when we don't feel joyful, our actions, our behaviours follow and we don't act joyfully. That's understandable. But you know what is also true is that when we turn that around and realise that when we act joyfully, even if it has to be particularly intentional and maybe even a little forced, it boosts our mood and we can experience a little of that joy. I think both our Bible stories today take us somewhere into that balance where there is both pain and joy. Once in Royal David's City, we sometimes sing, David's City, Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, not the capital city, but the place of David's birth, O little town of Bethlehem, the smaller, insignificant place. And it's important when we think of Ruth's story. Ruth, who had known so much pain and suffering, she had been widowed at a young age. She was living in a foreign land with her mother-in-law, no family. Things were not good and perhaps little to be joyful about until she crept into Boaz's life and would find a family. A family that, well, she would never know in her own lifetime the significance that it would have, and that she and Boaz would have a son, Obed, who would have a son, Jesse, who would have a son, David, who would be the greatest of the kings of Israel. Ruth would be remembered for all generations as the great, 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 29 great grandmother of Jesus of Nazareth. There's pain and blessing and joy and suffering all intermingled. So too for Mary, who sang a joyful song. And yet Mary, a young girl, pregnant, fearful of what Joseph might say, a young mum who would know the pain and suffering of a long journey, 90 miles or so down from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, where she would give birth to a son, and then soon would find herself living the life of a refugee fleeing for her safety to Egypt. Pain and suffering and joy and blessing intermingled in their stories and our stories. Let me share a story that was read in the recent services of Solus, a story entitled, I Wish You Enough. At an airport, I overheard a father and daughter in their last moments together. They had announced her plane's departure, and standing near the door, he said to his daughter, I love you. I wish you enough. She said, Dad, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish you enough too, Dad. They kissed goodbye and she left. He walked over towards the window where I was seated. Standing there, I could see he wanted and needed to cry. I tried not to intrude on his privacy, but he welcomed me in by asking, "Did you ever say goodbye to anyone, knowing it would be forever?" "Yes, I have," I replied. Saying that brought back memories I had of expressing my love and appreciation for all my dad had done for me. Recognising that his days were limited, I took the time to tell him face to face how much he meant to me, so I knew what this man was experiencing. "Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?" I asked. "I'm old and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is her next trip back will be for my funeral." "When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, 'I wish you enough.' May I ask what that means?" He began to smile. "That's a wish that has been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone." He paused for a moment, and looking up as if trying to remember it in detail, he smiled even more. "When we said, 'I wish you enough,' we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with enough good things to sustain them." And then turning to me, he shared the following as if reciting it from memory. "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys of life appear even bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbyes. I wish you enough. I wish you enough." Ruth said to Naomi, "I will do whatever you say." Mary said yes to the angel. Mary sang her song of acceptance in the midst of all that was going on. Ruth sets the scene and sets her eyes on Boaz. Mary sang her song of acceptance. Ruth gets her man. Mary sang her song of acceptance. Ruth claims her place in the genealogy of God. Mary sang her song of acceptance. Ruth and Mary claiming their place in God's story, in our hearts and in our story. These women join the others claiming their place in God's story with all those who came before and those who followed on. As we walk with Mary to the crib, let us remember and celebrate the Tamars, the Rahabs, the Ruths, the Marys, and everyone who has helped shape God's story, past, present, and future. The lineage continues. And may we make our yes to God in the midst of the downs and the ups of life as daughters and sons of God among those of the descendants forever of which Mary sang joyfully. Amen. God of unlikely saints and unsung heroines, we want to hear their stories and let their songs be sung. We celebrate exceptional women like Ruth and Mary, who risked their lives and their reputations
to do what they knew was right. We give thanks for quiet, decent men like Boaz and Joseph, who would not have dreamt of exploiting their vulnerability. We remember good, ordinary women like Orpah, too easily forgotten. She did what most of us would have done in her place, and that took courage too. Our prayers today are for those on the margins of history, but at the very heart of your plans for a different kind of world, one in which the hungry are fed, the invisible ones are seen, the silent ones are heard, and the people on the sidelines take centre stage as they discover their true worth. Loving God, we pray for those who are hungry right now and cannot afford the food they need. We pray for those who have had to leave home in order to survive, and instead of being praised for their courage, rejected and marginalised, maligned. We pray for people, including some we know, perhaps even ourselves, who are dealing with the pain of bereavement, and at the same time having to make massive decisions about the future. We hold before you quietly the people and places and issues that most concern us. God of life and love and joy, in all the choices we have to make, may we find courage always to choose the costly, life-giving way of love. Amen. And with our prayers, we bring our offerings, our wealth, our time, our talent, our joy, our commitment. God of all times and seasons, all places and the people who find themselves living there, we steal a moment from the hustle and bustle of our lives to reflect on where we are today and how we got here. All the twists and turns, highs and lows, good choices and bad ones, and the random accidents of fate that have made us the people we are, living and believing as we do. So much that we could not have predicted, much that we would not have chosen. But in all of it, you have been there, not mapping out our path, but walking it with us and making the journey worthwhile. The gifts that we bring today are a token of our willingness and our joyful commitment to continuing that journey with you wherever it may lead us and however long it takes. All our prayers we offer to you, our God of joy. Amen.
Thank you.
and peace, joy and love. And know that the blessing of God, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit is with you and with all those you love and those you should love today, through this Advent time and always. Thank you for sharing in our worship today. Details of all that's happening around the Peninsula Churches you'll find at www.peninsulachurches.org.uk. And every day until Christmas Eve, there continues the daily video adventure with some guest appearances, some things to ponder, reflections as we journey through Advent, the season of hope and peace, joy and love.